You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Music of the Stars. Summertime culture. It was 20 years ago. The movie theaters shook, rattled, and exploded. A couple of giant disaster blockbusters. Has it been that long? Independence Day. Saw it at the Kino Drive-In. And Twister. Both those theaters gone. This was just a couple of weeks apart. Talking about extreme weather, alien invasion. Plenty of popcorn. On a scale we'd never seen before. Twister with Helen Hunt, Bill Paxton. Bill Paxton not to be confused with Bill Pullman. The guys chasing all across the Midwest these monstrous tornadoes. And then Independence Day with landmarks blowing up and huge spacecraft and a presidential speech from Bill Pullman. Not to be confused with Bill Paxton. Great stuff.
In less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world. And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July, and you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live, to exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Thank you. kindly step to the rear and let a winner lead the way. Here's where we separate the notes from the noise, the men from the boys, the rose from the poison. I'll be back in the bunch. I came up with a hunch, this was an up and Adam day. Yes, it's one of those spells when you hear the right bells and your horoscope tells you to sell. Hey, will everyone here kindly step to the rear and let a winner lead the way. I hear those trumpets begin to blare, and now I'm Washington across the Delaware.
Will everyone here kindly step to the rear and let a winner lead the way? Here's where we separate the duck from the quack,
the ace from the pack, the pip from the Macintosh is back in the group. I came up with a scoop, this was the time to rise and say. I've got in my eyes such a jubilant sky that the 4th of July will seem great. Hey, will everyone here kindly step to the rear and let a winner lead the way.
Rest of the story. Al was useless, utterly useless. He told his sister in a letter, quote, I am nothing but a burden to my family. Really, it would have been better if I had never been born. He had been taken out of school as a youngster because he was what we would now consider retarded. Remember what I just said. He had been taken out of school because he was considered what we would now call retarded and had to be tutored at home by his mother. By the age of 22, Al had hit bottom. His parents, impoverished, were no longer able to support him. He needed a job, but nobody would hire him. And so in desperation, Al appealed to an old school friend, a fellow whose class notes he used to copy. The friend's father had government connections. And a few days later, Al was being interviewed for a position at the Federal Patent Office. Fred Haller was then director of the agency. He would conduct the interview personally. Haller informed the young man that he needed personnel capable of judging whether a request for a patent had any justification. What do you know about patents, the director asked. Nell said nothing. Didn't know a thing about patents. The director arched an eyebrow. Under ordinary circumstances, he would have terminated the interview right then and there. Yet there was something, I guess, there must have been something intriguing in the young man's frankness. The director said, tell me a little bit about yourself. And Al forced a smile. What was there to tell? He'd been thrown out of high school at the age of 15. And with no high school diploma, college had been out of the question. So he applied at a technical school, but he flunked the entrance exam. So he went back to high school, a different one, actually, because his old high school refused to readmit him. This time he did manage to graduate. He was even accepted at technical school, and yet when potential employers subsequently discovered that he had cut classes chronically, that he had passed his exams only very narrowly, that he had treated his professors irreverently, nobody would hire him. So Al had the word loser written all over him. Now here he was in the Federal Patent Office asking for a job for which he was not qualified. But Director Haller was a very patient man, I guess. He'd heard all of the reasons why he should not hire Al. Now he wanted to hear some reasons why he should. And remarkably, that interview continued for most of 2 hours. And by the time it was over, the director had come to this conclusion. Al was not stupid. He had not been retarded. He was simply a failure. And if he were ever to stop failing and make something of himself, it would first require a large dose of self-confidence. From somewhere, he was going to have to get some self-confidence. So Director Haller decided to give Al a break, a probationary job as technical expert third class. Posterity's impressions of Al is larger than life. He was not inexorably destined to guide lesser minds through space and time. In fact, at the age of 22, he stood at the brink of utter uselessness. until at long last, somebody took a chance on him and gave him a job at the Swiss Federal Patent Office. And inspired by his first unequivocal success, he eventually learned to live up to his best. And from that beginning, became the incomparable genius the world knows as Albert Einstein. And now you know the rest of the story.
I'm 27 years old, and I'm only a junior executive. I'm not getting any younger.
You've got a wonderful career ahead of you.
Oh, no. I've lost the vision.
Well, I haven't. Now you listen to me, J. Pierpont Finch. You have the cool, clear eyes of a seeker of wisdom and truth. Yet there's that upturned chin and the grin of impetuous youth. Oh, I believe in you. The sound of good, solid judgment whenever you talk. Yet there's the bold, brave spring of a tiger that quickens your walk. Oh, I believe in you. And my faith in my fellow man all but falls apart, I've but to feel your hand grasping mine, and I take heart. I take heart. Prove
cool, clear eyes of a seeker of wisdom and truth. Yet with the slam, bang, tang, reminiscent of gin and vermouth. Oh, I believe in you. I believe in you.
Michelle Lee. Nobody better.
Rosemary.
Francis Albert, Count Basie.
You have the cool, clear eyes of a seeker of wisdom and truth. Yet there's that upturned chin and the grin of impetuous youth. I believe in you. I believe in you. I hear the sound of good solid judgment whenever you talk. Yet there's a bold, brave spring of the tiger that quickens your walk. I believe in you. I believe in you. And when my faith in my fellow man all but falls apart, I've but to feel your hand grasping mine, and I take heart to see the cool, clear eyes of a seeker of wisdom and truth. Yet there's that slam, bang, tang, reminiscent of gin and vermouth. I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe.
Quincy Jones wrote that. From How to Succeed in Business.
She believes in me. This man of little means. This man of many dreams just waiting to come true. She believes in me. This man who justifies the love that's in her eyes with things I never do. She turns my heart around, then helps my eyes to see. She believes in me. And as we climb the stairs that leads to who knows where, I know I'll never be the man I think I am, but I don't give a damn as long as
Music of the Star. And here's Jack Jones.
And when I told them how beautiful you are, they didn't believe me. They didn't believe me. Your lips, your eyes, your cheeks, your hair are in a class beyond compare. You're the loveliest girl that one could see. And when I tell them, and I'm certainly gonna tell them, that I'm the man whose wife one day you'll be, they'll never believe me. They'll never believe me. That from this great big you've chosen me. Certainly gonna tell them that I'm the man whose wife one day you'll be. They'll never believe me. They'll never believe. From this great big world, you've chosen me.
Another great classic from Jerome Kern. They just don't get any better. Dennis Stay.
My heart tells me this is just a fling. Yet you say our love means everything. You mean what you are saying? do.
Jimmy Cagney, Yankee Doodle Boy.
I'm the kid that's all the handy. I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. I'm glad I am.
Good Uncle Sam.
I'm a real life Yankee Doodle. Made my name and fame and boom, just as Mr. Doodle did by riding on a pony. I love to listen to the Dixie strain. I long to see the girl I left behind me. That ain't a Josh. She's a Yankee, by gosh.
Oh, say, can you see?
Anything about a Yankee, that's awful neat.
Little Johnny Jones, the jockey from the USA.
We'll ride the pony, Yankee Doodle, English Derby Day.
Trophies, broken records, every track and every beat.
So Yankee Doodle's gonna be the boy they have to beat.
Sportsmen of the British out who followed his career have offered Johnny anything to keep him over here.
But all the money in the Bank of England couldn't pay enough to keep young Johnny Jones away from old Broadway.
If you want to take a trip, the surest of sure things,
have your houses mortgaged, hop your watches, pawn your rings,
and put it all on Yankee Doodle. Johnny Jones is up.
I'm gonna give America the English Derby Cup.
He's gonna give America the English Derby Cup.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yankee Doodle do or die. A real live nephew of my Uncle Sam, born on the 4th of July. I've got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart. She's my Yankee Doodle joy. Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the ponies. I am that Yankee Doodle boy.
He's a Yankee Doodle dandy, a Yankee Doodle do or die. A real life everyone is Uncle Sam, born on the 4th of July. He's got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart. She's his Yankee Doodle joy. Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the ponies.
Never understood why Jimmy didn't get more credits for his dancing capability.
For the moment victory comes ever forward, patriots fall.
And America has always gone forward on the sound of marching feet to the military beat of drums, drums, drums. Helping to hold the banner high, stirring the hearts of her fighting men. This, then, is the spirit of 76.
What do you mean you're walking off the job?
Like I'm walking off the job, man. I don't have to work with that kind of square drummer.
Well,
man.
I don't see any
reason
why.
No, I mean,
why
when I accepted the gig, I didn't know I was going to have to play fife with the kind of moldy fig.
Well, we certainly
drumming can. Like what is going on up ahead there, man? No.
Moldy,
Now, the kid here is on second drums, and the kid is swinging pretty good, but we can't make it swing with that other cat, Dick.
You tell him, Bix.
Look here now, we're engaged in battle. The army's depending
on you. Well, too bad, man. Like, you're back here holding the flag. You don't have to walk next to him, you know?
Well, what exactly is your objection to the man?
Well, in the first place, anybody with a name like Yankee...
Doodle.
Yeah, well, the name says it, man, you know?
Yes, but what is the main problem?
Like, it's a toss-up between the drumming and the singing, man.
The singing.
I got a bandage around my ears, but it doesn't help much. It's a bad
song. Well, let's walk back up there and talk to him, see if we can't straighten it out.
Yeah, well, you know.
All right, Doodle, the fife player and the other drummer want to leave. Now, what seems to be the trouble?
They're out of step with me, that's what's the trouble.
Is that true?
Oh, wow, he wants to play yep up 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 and it ought to go scoopy doopy doopy doop bow 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 yeah ooh ooh. Boom. Man, like you didn't say anything about that we were going to work up near the cannonballs, man. I mean, I thought we were working like a officers' club
dance, man.
Let's get on with the procession here, gracious.
Yes, now let's make an effort and play it like Doodle wants to.
Yeah, well, it's a drag.
Get on with the marching here.
Father and I went down to camp along with Captain Gooding. There we saw the men and boys as thick as hasty. Everybody!
Yankee Doodle, keep it up.
Keep it up and we'll blow the whole wall.
Mind the music and the step and with the girls behind.
I heard that.
Yankee Doodle came to town a-riding on the pony. He stuck a feather in his cap and called it back and
yes, sir! I'm a Yankee Doodle.
That's all, man. That's it.
I'm hip.
That's it.
Come on, pick up your instruments there.
No, that's it, man.
What's the trouble now?
It's a bad scene, man, right?
Bad scene, Bix.
Come on, you're holding up the whole parade.
Let's stop the bickering in the ranks here. Do you want the war to end on a note of triumph or disaster?
Like either way, man. Just so it swings.
Now look.
Scooby-Doo.
Let's reach a compromise here. Play it 8 bars your way and 8 bars Doodle's.
All right.
Crazy.
Yankee Doodle, keep it up. Yankee Doodle, dandy. Find the music and the step and...
Okay, out of the way, man. Like...
Well, that was pretty rude. Hold it, people, please!
Pretty good there, Daddy.
You've influenced me a lot, Bix.
Yeah, well, you know.
Outrageous. You'll ruin the whole...
On a swing band, put a trombone to his lips and swung it mighty dandy. Yankee Doodle, play it loud. Oh, now play it soft. Play those drums back there, Paul. Thank you.
Jack Teagarden and the Big Band. And
all right, chipmunks, we're going to sing for the people. So are you all ready to go? Simon?
I'm ready.
Theodore?
Sure.
Alvin? Alvin?
Alvin!
Christmas, Christmas!
No, no, Alvin. This is Yankee Doodle, and the words are... Yankee Doodle went to town a-riding on his pony, stuck a feather in his cap, and called it macaroni. Okay? Start!
Yankee Doodle went to town a-riding on his pony, stuck a feather in his cap, and called it spaghetti.
Now, wait a minute, Alvin. It's macaroni, not spaghetti.
I like spaghetti.
I don't care if you like spaghetti or not. In the song, the word is macaroni. Have you got it?
Okay. Yankee Doodle went to town a-riding on his pony, stuck a feather in his cap and called it macaroni. Yankee Doodle, keep it up, Yankee Doodle dandy, mind the music and the step and with the girls be handy.
Hey, that was very good, fellas. Now you kids at home, sing the song right along with the orchestra. Come on now, don't be bashful. Ready, set, go!
Macaroni was a catch-all term in England for the scenesters of the time who sat between the Restoration-era fop and the dandy on the historical timeline of trendy looks. They were called macaronis because when they left England, usually on mommy and daddy's dime, they toured Europe and brought back this totally amazing new pasta they discovered in Italy. It was, yeah, macaroni.
Once before?
Yeah, man, once before, win this war. Now we're gonna fight. How we're gonna fight? Yeah, man, win this war.
Isn't that old Hitler's pan?
Yeah, man, Hitler's pan.
Are we gonna beat that man?
Yeah, man, beat that man, Hitler's pan. Once before, win this war. Now we're gonna fight. How we're gonna fight? Yeah, man, win this war.
Isn't that Benito's jaw?
Yeah, man, Benito's jaw. Yeah, man. Benito's jaw. Beat that man, Hitler's man. Once before, win this war. Now we're gonna fight. Now we're gonna fight. Yeah, man, win this war.
Music of the Stars, Benny Goodman. King of Swing. Thank you.
Archie was a wagon painter. 100-plus years ago, he painted those fancy little designs on horse-drawn wagons and carriages. He painted furniture, too, earned him a good living and a decent professional reputation. But the wagon painter from Bedford, Ohio, had a sense of humor, something he suppressed while trimming a carriage and expressed instead in humorous drawings. Now, those sideline sketches depicted children, mostly children, in funny, everyday situations. Every now and then, Archie sold one of them, but this is the rest of the story. July 4, 1875, Archie went down to the parade ground in Wellington to watch the holiday festivities. Yet despite the pomp and the ceremony and the shiny buttoned uniforms, it was a small group of unadorned yet enthusiastic participants that caught his eye. They were not really part of the parade, and yet their dancing and their prancing and their pretend to soldiering were so hilarious that Archie decided to sketch them. He characterized them as proud, preening, fresh-faced army recruits, eager for battle and yet still clad in civilian clothing. Well, Archie took that sketch to a friend, a photographer named Jim Ryder, and asked, "How do you like it?" Jim responded any other way than the way he did. We probably would not be talking about either of them today. But what Archie's photographer friend said was, in essence, "Please, friend, get serious." There was nothing wrong with the funny drawings, he told Archie, but lurking behind the humor of those pompous paraders was a something powerful. "Take that same scene," Jim Ryder advised, "and let the drama emerge." Archie took his friend's advice. The wagon painter got a couple of acquaintances and his own father, a Baptist minister, to pose for the three main characters in the revised portrait. And when that one was completed, Archie's delighted photographer friend helped him make chromolithograph copies, a few dozen at first, then a few hundred, and they sold for $10 apiece. 10,000 chromolithographs later, Archie and Jim were rich men. Archie repainted that portrait some 14 times with minor variations, but the three principal characters remained the same. Their faces were modeled after a neighbor named Hugh Mosher and a boy named Harry Devereaux, and the artist's preacher father, Samuel, whose determined visage glares for all time from the center of one of the world's most famous paintings. Archie, whose career as a serious portraitist began in his 40th year, was soon recognized exclusively as such, and yet for all of the dignified portraits he would subsequently paint, none ever achieved the renown of that one that began as a gag. The painting based on the sketch, originally entitled 4th of July Musicians, for you see, the three principal subjects of that drawing, of the three jubilant celebrants prancing around Wellington Parade Ground, one was playing a fife, and the other two were beating on drums, and you, of course, know what happened. When artist Archibald Willard transformed those men from parade ground clowns to Revolutionary War soldiers and retitled the work Spirit of 76, only now you know the rest of the story.
Go!
Who gives a damn? Who gives a damn? Who gives a damn?
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.